And I'm thankful for your pastor and the work that he's doing here. We enjoyed having him preach at camp. And I really didn't mean to say it like this, but I told my wife he's a really smart preacher. And she said yes, so much that they named him that. And so parents did, but I really enjoyed his preaching, and it's a blessing to be here. It's good to see Sarah and Beck tonight, and Brother Doris, Brother Steve Doris, a member of our church, told me that Sarah was coming, and I appreciate you being here tonight, and it's a joy to be in the Lord's house. I love church. I do. I love church. I was in Mexico City preaching Thursday and Friday, or Wednesday and Thursday. I came home Friday, and I told the folks up there, of course, I was using an interpreter or interrupter. Everything I'd say, he'd stop me and say it, and I told them, I said, you know, I'm a country preacher. I started preaching in the barnyard, and it's the truth. I did. I would go to the chickens, and I would preach to the chickens, and I would say, you're always just trying, scratching around, trying to dig up trouble, and boy, I'd just preach to them, you know. Then I'd go to the hog lot, and I'd preach over there a while, and I'd say, you're the laziest bunch I've ever seen. You never get up unless the slop bucket's rattled, and that's the only time you ever get up. You're just a lazy bunch, and boy, I'd just preach to them. Then I'd go up to the barn, and I'd preach to the mule a while. He had the longest face, never smiled, just stood there and chewed all the time, you know, just long face. And I preached to him, and I preached to him about all the time being down and discouraged. And I told the folks, I said, you know, I said when I was a boy in the barnyard, one of these days I'm going to have a church, and I'm going to have people to preach to. And I've been a pastor now 38 years, and I'm amazed at the striking similarities I've found in these 38 years. And when they interpreted mule, mula, I thought mula was money. But in Spanish, it's a mule. And but anyway, I enjoy preaching and I enjoy being in church. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here. That was good preaching tonight, wasn't it? Don't you just love when the Bible is preached? I like it. I like it. Stand with me, if you will. If you found Psalm 18, you're able to stand. And I want you to begin with me in verse number 2. David is giving a victory speech in Psalm 18. David was a man of praise and thanksgiving, and he is praising God for what God has done for him. And he's really bragging on God in this passage of Scripture. And let's notice what he says. He said in verse 32, "It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me up on my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great." Verse 36 is my text verse. "Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me." Verse 36 again, the Bible says, "Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip." I want to preach tonight on this subject. I want to preach on seasons, Sabbaths, and steps. Seasons, Sabbaths, and steps. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege and opportunity to be in church. Thank you for the choir singing tonight. And Lord, the longer I serve you, the sweeter it grows, and that's the truth. And Lord, thank you for the great special, the duet. Lord, I've never heard any better. And Lord, when you speak, may we listen to you. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to us tonight through your word. Thank you for the preaching from Samuel, 1 Samuel in chapter 1. Thank you for how you do hear the prayers of your children and answer them. And I pray now that you bless the preaching of this message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. My introduction for the message tonight is in three parts, as indicated by the title of my sermon. My heart's desire as a pastor is to be a help and a blessing, and I spend a good portion of my time helping people in their walk with God and helping people to overcome difficulty and get their life back on track. I drove about 5.5 hours today, and I know I spent 4.5 hours on the phone, and I want to be of help to you tonight if I can. First of all, I want to say most of our lives are planned and lived by seasons, and that is the will of God. That is the way God has planned it. It's God who is the God of seasons. The Bible says He changes the seasons, and I'm glad that you and I live in a part of the world where we enjoy, or at least we experience, all four seasons. I personally enjoy every season. I enjoy winter time. I enjoy springtime and summer and fall. And most of the time, our lives are planned around seasons. Schools are planned around seasons. Sports are planned around seasons. A lot of fellas at home are getting excited about the football season that's coming up. And I don't know why anybody in Kentucky would get excited about that, but they do now and again, and our life is planned by seasons. When you look at the preaching of the Lord Jesus, He talked about seasons. For example, in Luke chapter 12, verse 42, the Bible says, "And the Lord said, Who then is a faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season?" You sow and you reap. You work and you earn. We're coming to the end of the summer season and going into the events and activities of the fall season. And that's just the way life is. School is beginning and some places has started. Other places are getting started today or in the next few days. Some going to college, and life changes in the seasons. I often say to my staff, and one of the things I try to live by is you never measure the success of a day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds you sow. And we can always enjoy life if we measure the success of a day, not by the harvest we reap, but by the seeds we sow. I'm reaping today what I sowed some 90 days ago, and that works not just in the planting of a seed, but it works that way in life. And so life is planned and lived by the seasons. The second statement I want to make is sometimes the challenges of life cause us to reduce our focus of life from seasons to Sabbaths or seasons to single days. Trials come to our lives, and we focus our lives living not on this fall or this winter, but folks will say, "I have medical test this Friday." I have many folks on our prayer list, some 300 folks that I pray for on average, and there is that group of folks that have cancer. I believe there's 12 or 13 right now that I'm praying for actively that are going through the difficulty of the cancer battle, and they're talking about, I don't know, some that have surgery next Tuesday. Some meet with the oncologist this Friday, and so life is reduced from thinking about next spring to thinking about a specific day. We ask God to help us with a health challenge or a change of life, or sometimes dealing with the broken heart, as I talk to pastors today that have a broken heart, and parents today that have a broken heart, and they're looking forward to the next day or event. The psalmist said in Psalm 90 and verse number 12, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." I love that verse in Isaiah 40 and verse number 31, where the Bible says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We all know people, and no doubt there are folks here tonight. You're not planning things looking forward to a season, but because of some difficulties or challenges, you're living life by the next event or the next day, whether it's next Monday or next Friday or whatever the case may be. Then third of all, there are times that life is so difficult that we don't think of seasons. In fact, we don't even think of the next day. But we come down to our prayers and our focus is on the very next step of life, the very next decision of our lives. The Bible says in Job 14 and verse number 16, "For now thou numberest my steps." The psalmist said, "Teach us to number our days." Typically, we don't do that. We number our years, and we have birthdays. I've got a birthday coming up. I'm 59 right now, and in a few days, I'll be 50-10. So I said that to a missionary in Mexico. He asked, he said, "Brother Jeff, how old are you?" And I said, "Oh, I'm 59. I'll soon be 50-10. He said, "I'll soon be 60-18, he said. So we don't number our days. We number our years. But the psalmist said there are times that we number our days. And then Job says, "For now thou numberest my steps. Dost thou not watch over my sin?" Psalm 18 and verse number 36, "Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip." Let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about in comparing seasons and Sabbaths and steps. We have a young man, Mr. Luke Jones. He grew up in our church. I remember when Mama brought him to church, and I remember when he got taken out of church because he cried. And then I remember when Luke was a toddler and they were teaching him to behave in church, and he would go out and a prayer meeting would begin because he knew that him and Mama was going to judgment day, and then he'd come back in. And I watched him grow up in church, and Luke is a fine young man. He just went this past week to boot camp, and he is thinking about the season and finishing. He said, "I have a period of time in boot camp, and then I'll get to serve, and then I'll find out what my orders are." And so he's going season by season. When I was growing up, I had a Sunday school teacher that impacted my life in a great way. In my grades 7, 8, and 9, my Sunday school teacher was a Vietnam foot soldier with the Army. His name was Steve Johnson. He was a part of a military team in the jungles of Vietnam that would go behind enemy lines, and they would scout out what the enemy was doing, and they would bring that information back. And Brother Johnson, what a dear friend he was. He took me fishing. We went catching turtles. Never done that before. We go in the creek and catch snapping turtles or whatever kind of turtles they were, and it tastes good. And of course, they said it tastes like chicken, and so I quit going through all the trouble of catching turtles, and I just eat chicken now. I remember he would take me squirrel hunting, and he would stop, and he would say, "Brother Jeff, you got to be quiet. You can't." He said, "You're so loud." He said, "If you'd been in Vietnam, we'd have been dead a long time ago." He said, "You got to be quiet when you walk." And I would try. And boy, he could just walk in those dry leaves and not make a sound. But he told the story of how when he was in those jungles of Vietnam, he said, "You know, the thing I feared most, it wasn't really the enemy, but," he said, "they would make traps for us as we were in the jungles." He said they would dig a hole about 4 feet wide or 4 feet square. And he said in that hole they would put bamboo sticks and make them sharp. And then they would cover that. And he said, "I want to tell you something. When you walked through that jungle, you paid attention to every step that you made. Sometimes he said there were wires, and if you kicked that wire or that string, maybe something would fall out of a tree that was bound by that, or it would open a trap. And he said you had to pay attention. And I remember as he preached on Ephesians chapter 6 and putting on the whole armor of God, I remember for the first time as a teenager, I thought, I am a soldier. I'm a soldier in God's army, and I have to live right, and I have to put on the whole armor of God. But he told us every step was important. You see, Luke Jones is looking forward to the day that he'll graduate when this season of boot camp is over. Steve Johnson was paying attention to the next step, and that's what our passage of Scripture is speaking about tonight. David said, Lord, the devil and the enemy, they tried to destroy me, but you made my feet bigger. You enlarged my steps so that my feet did not slip. Let me say tonight, thank God that when my need for God is not by the season and not by the day, but thank God when I need Him for the next step, I'm glad that I have a God that loves me and He enlarges my very steps so that my feet do not slip. I want to say tonight, I need His wisdom and His grace for the seasons of life. I need His wisdom and His grace for the days of life. But thank God when it comes down to every decision being important, God is a wonderful God that guides me and helps me to pay attention to the very next step of life. The saddest psalm in the Bible is Psalm 88. Psalm 88 is not just a prayer, it is tears, it is a cry. And it's a long psalm, and he asked the Lord, when are you going to answer me? And there's never an answer, there's never a response. And the content of the psalm is sad, however, the context tells the story of the psalm. The writer of the 88th psalm is a man by the name of Heman, H-E-M-A-N. Heman was the grandson of Samuel, the final judge of Israel. It was Samuel that anointed King Saul and then later King David. Heman is listed as one of the three main musicians that were appointed by King David. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 25, moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps. It's interesting, prophesy with harps, with psalteries, with symbols. The word prophesy means to declare truth. Isn't it amazing when you just hear the piano or hear the organ play, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Doesn't that speak to your heart? Well, Heman was one of those musicians that could prophesy with he could declare truth. He could remind you of truth when he would play the harp and the psaltery and the cymbal. The Bible says, and the number of the workmen according to their service was 120. Heman and his family were present when the Ark of the Covenant was brought to Jerusalem. In fact, the Bible gives a beautiful description. They stood on the east side of the altar. They were dressed in fine linen and beautiful uniforms, and they played instruments and were accompanied by 120 priests that were sounding trumpets. I believe we have one or two trumpets in our church orchestra, and boy, it's loud, and I like it. I want to be used to the sound of a trumpet. You know what I mean? Can you imagine the sound and the majestic sound and the music of 120 trumpeters? I remember when King Charles was coronated as the coronation of King Charles there a couple of years ago, and the majestic music and all of that that was taking place. I think of that, and Heman was one of the three that was in charge, and he's wearing his fine linen, and no doubt he is marked by his position and the clothes that he is wearing. Heman and the others, they sang and played instruments. He served during the time of King Solomon. In fact, 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 31 says, Heman was very wise. Solomon was the wisest, and Solomon was compared to Heman. If there had been no Solomon, we may have known of Heman more than, but because he was next in wisdom, we don't hear of him as much. But Heman was a very wise man. But Heman suffered from depression. His depression is recognized in Psalm 88. Psalm 88, verse number 8, it talks about darkness. Verse number 18, it talks about darkness. And Heman was a man that went from living by the season to living step by step. As I understand, Heman served Solomon in a prominent role. However, when King Rehoboam took the counsel of the young men and as a result divided the nation, Rehoboam got rid of good men like Heman was, and he got a bunch of young men that would advise him on how to take advantage of the people. And Heman lived with a broken heart to see his nation divided, and he wrote the saddest of 150 Psalms, and he learns to lean on the Lord for not just seasons and not just special days, but every step of life. And I want to say tonight, sometimes our life goes from being a joyful season. I'll be honest with you, I like living by the season. Sometimes it gets difficult when you're concerned about next Friday. Or when you carry a burden and you're waiting for a response next Tuesday. Sometimes life is tough when you, every step is important. Every step can bring success or can bring failure. Thank God for His grace in the seasons of life. Thank God for His grace in the special days of life. Oh, but thank God tonight when it comes down to the fact that I need His grace and I need His wisdom for every step, He is there. I'm thankful for how God provides for the work of the church. Aren't you amazed how God provides for the work and to His servants? Sometimes God provides by the season. Sometimes He provides day by day. Sometimes He provides step by step. You remember the widow of Zarephath? Elijah showed up and he said, God said for me to show up. Now, can you imagine? He's been down by the brook Cherith eating what those ravens had brought him. I don't know about you, but I've never seen a raven eat anything that I wanted to eat. And he gets word there's a widow that's gonna prepare some food for you. Now, if you tell me that the widows in church are cooking Sunday, I'm showing up early. Because, buddy, I'm thinking of fried chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy and banana pudding and the whole nine yards. That's what I'm thinking about when I'm thinking that the widows have prepared a meal for me. Elijah shows up and he sees the widow of Zarephath. He sees this lady out here and she's picking up sticks. And he said, ma'am, I'm Elijah. And he realizes this is the one. And he said, God sent me here and said you would provide a meal for me. And she said, I got enough flour for one meal, one cake. I got enough oil for one day. And then my son and I, we're going to die. We got a little bit left and that's all. You see, she was down to the step. She made a decision that day to make a step of faith. She looked in that barrel the next day and it wasn't full. God didn't provide for the next season, but there was enough for one more day. So she called the funeral home and said, you can put my funeral off for another couple of days. I got enough food here for another day. And she took another step of faith and she looked in that barrel and I'm telling you, there was enough meal in there for just one more cake. She called the funeral home. She said, you can put my funeral off. We got enough meal for one more day. And I want to tell you, God didn't take her through that season, but He took her step by step until the famine had ended. And I want to tell you something. I want to praise God tonight that sometimes in the finances, God leads us by the season. And sometimes He says, I want you to trust me by the steps. I'm glad that God provides. And I tell Him, it would be good. It'd be good with me if you just wouldn't provide it season by season. Sometimes God said, I'd like for you to be here every day. In fact, I'd like to talk to you about 15 times a day. And I've been there. This honest truth, we're remodeling our college dormitories and And I asked Brother Davis, was it last Thursday? No, it was Thursday before last. Last Thursday I was out of town. And I said, Brother Davis, we need to order windows and doors for those four rooms. Do we have the money to do that? And he said, no, preacher, we don't have it in that account. And I said to Brother Dunn, I said, here, you use this credit card. And I gave him a credit card out of my pocket. I wanted to get that done. I went over to the school, and one of the staff men, he came down. He said, preacher, I want to see you a minute. He said, my mama passed away about 3 weeks ago, and she left this for you for the school, and it was a check for $10,000. I told the story in church, and I said, I just thank God. He just gave us another step. There was a fella, he'd been with me for 30 of the 33 years, Don Dean. He came up and he said, preacher, I remember when a step used to just cost us $1,000. Now a step costs us $10,000. I don't know about you, I like it when God provides by the season. But sometimes God said, I'll give you enough for the next step. Just keep trusting in me. That's what the psalmist is saying. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not to slip. I want to say tonight, when you're from the seasons to the Sabbaths, and when you go from the Sabbaths to the steps, keep trusting in God, because God will provide and God will meet our needs if we'll just keep trusting in Him. When I was a boy, my dad started the Bible Baptist Church in Hazard. And I tell folks, we weren't poor. We just didn't have any money. And they tell a lot of stories about being poor down there. They said one fellow was so poor, if somebody had broken his house, if they'd broken my house, I'd have helped them look. That's pretty bad, isn't it? Now this is pretty bad. They told a story. One family, they support one time for supper, Mama just read the recipe to them. He said, I had a brother that was so hard of hearing, he about starved to death that winter. But anyway, that's all foolishness. But I do remember one Sunday night, we lived in a little single-wide trailer. I was probably 10 or 11 years old. And I remember after church, I saw my dad praying at the kitchen table and saying, oh God, he'd quit his job and he'd gone full time. He said, oh God, I pray that you'd provide for my family. I pray, God, and my mama was in the back room. And I remember crying because I watched him pray. And I'm so glad this happened looking back on it. And I watched him pray. The next day, my dad went to the post office. In those days, they didn't bring the mail to the house. You went to the post office and got it. Our address was like everybody else's, General Delivery, Chavez, Kentucky, 41727. You went in and traded a little gossip for your mail. At least that's the way I thought it worked. I remember going down to the old post office and everybody standing around talking. My dad went to the post office that morning. He came back. He came back waving an envelope over his head looking for my mom. And he said, Mama, he said, I want you to see what God gave us today. And I'll never forget when my dad took those two $100 bills out and he waved them over his head. And him and Mom shouted and danced. And I was just amazed at how God provided. But here's what he said. You know, he said, I prayed on Sunday night. God mailed it on Friday and I got it on Monday morning. Sometimes it's by the season. Sometimes it's by the Sabbath. And sometimes it's by the step. What about our faith in God? You and I live in a constant battle between our faith in God and fear of the flesh. Sometimes we see the news and we see the notes of the day and it breaks a heart. You try to watch a World Olympics and you see, my goodness, is that what I'm looking at? I mean, are they making fun in front of the whole world? Are they making fun of Christ and the Last Supper? Is that really what our world has come to? Have we come to the days of Noah and we find our heart sinks in fear and we run to our prayer closet and we open the Bible, and as we begin to read the Bible and our eyes are lifted up from this earth to see that throne in heaven, that we serve a sovereign God that's in control of all things, and realize I'm not supposed to live in fear, I'm supposed to live in faith. But the truth is, there are times that our faith is good for the season. We're excited about what God is going to do by the season. I read Psalm 62 and the psalmist says, I shall not be moved. But I get to the ninth verse and I find that he's filled with fear because of what's going on around him. But then he comes back to looking at the God of heaven, and his faith goes up and down and back up again. Sometimes our faith is good for the season. Sometimes our faith is good for the day. And sometimes we just have to have faith. Lord, give me faith just to take the next step. Give me faith to make the right decision. God, give me faith step by step. And I want to say tonight, he's a good God in faith by the season. He's a good God in faith step by step too. I also think of finishing well. I love the work of the ministry. In fact, I love it a lot. I've been serving God, and I've been a pastor now since April 16, 1986, 38 years. You know, the only thing I dread about ministry, I don't want it to end unless the Lord comes. Pastors are asking me, when are you going to retire? And I understand that there's some that have to retire because of health reasons. I tell them, I say, well, I've decided to save money. I'm going to have my funeral and retirement party at the same time. I want you to come. I don't want to quit. You know what I want to do? I want to finish well. A few days, I'll be 60 years old, and I'll begin this next decade of life. I don't want to slow down. I don't want to give up. I want to give it all I got. Sometimes I know as I enter this next decade, I know that there's sometimes I'm going to be looking forward. And I do look forward to seasons. I look forward to the season of summer camp. Oh, I have such a good time. I love it when the young people come and the families come. And we just have a revival time all week. What a wonderful time it is in the summer. Then I look forward to the fall and the starting of schools and all of the young people that are coming and the excitement of preparing for ministry and life. And I look forward to the wintertime because I get just a little break, and I pray more than the students do. Lord, give us a snow day tomorrow. I'll sometimes cancel just on a scary forecast. I'll just say, we don't want to take a chance. We need a day off. I look forward to the winter, and then I look forward to the springtime and the coming of a new year and the spring. I love the seasons, but I know from looking back as I look ahead, there'll be sometimes it'll be reduced to, Lord, I need your help between now and Friday. Oh, God, I need an answer by Friday. I don't know how many times in building this last building that I said, we went into COVID and the banker said, we don't want to loan any more money. We need to stop, and you'll need to stop building. And I don't know how many times I said to our construction workers, fellas, we'll work till Friday, and that'll be the end until God give us more money. And by the end of day Friday, I'd go to them and I'd say, fellas, we're going to work another week. I got enough money for us to go another week. And then there were sometimes I know it's just step by step, but I want to finish well. I went and visited one of our good men Saturday morning. I got back from Mexico City about midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, Saturday morning. One of our men has kidney failure. And I went to see him. He said, Preacher, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do dialysis. He said, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. He said, I look forward to being in heaven soon. And he said, tell the folks at church. And he started naming them. I told some of the fellows, you ought to go see him. And they have, a bunch of them. And he said, I'm glad for you to come. And it's almost like he's having a celebration. He's taking his last few steps. He was supposed to meet with hospice himself today. And they was going to explain to him what they'll do in palliative care. I want to finish well. Sometimes it'll be by the season, sometimes it'll be by the Sabbath, and sometimes it'll be by the step. Maybe that's what the songwriter had in mind when he said, I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour, I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. Would you stand with me tonight? Heads are bowed. Heavenly Father, thank you when we get to enjoy a pleasant and a wonderful and a happy season of life. And then, Lord, thank you for being with us when we think about the very next important day or event in our life. But, Lord, I also want to thank you for your grace and your wisdom that helps us to take the very next step of life. I pray for those here tonight that maybe they're in a time of their life that it's not the season they're looking forward to, but they're praying earnestly, Lord, help me as I make my next decision. Help me, Lord, as I take my next step. And then, Lord, help us to be a happy Christian as Hannah was. And she was happy because she was thankful. And I pray that tonight, if there's decisions that should be made, they would be made tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, just before we have our song and invitation, I want to say, you hear tonight?